Second day of the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., where leaders from around the world have gathered to address pressing international challenges. At the top of the agenda is how to sustain Western military support for Ukraine. And perhaps few leaders understand Ukrainian challenges and the NATO alliance as deeply as Czech President Peter Pavel. A former Czech army chief, he previously served as chairman of NATO's military committee and rose to the presidency earlier last year. I spoke with him in Washington earlier today and began by asking him whether he thinks Ukraine can expel Russia from the Ukrainian territories it now occupies.
This should be not only Ukraine's, but our ultimate goal. We all understand that the reality on the battlefield is different from our wishes. It will be unrealistic to expect that Ukraine, with all our assistance, will be able to liberate all the occupied territories in a short time. We should strive for full sovereignty, for full control of internationally recognized borders, but it will most probably take time.
When you say it will most likely take time, how long should Ukraine expect to have Russia occupy some 20% of its country?
I believe first we have to stop the war, and at this moment Russia has no interest in stopping fighting, because they believe they can succeed on battlefield. And once they realize that there is no chance of getting more ground, they will be only losing manpower and equipment. Then the time comes for negotiation. We can provide Ukraine support that will convince Russia that they cannot get any further success. And that will move them to an understanding that the only way out of this conflict is at the negotiating table. And of course, the result of that negotiation will depend on in which position fighting countries will find themselves. And our intent and our interest should be that Ukraine is in the best negotiating position as possible.
The U.S. and other countries have given Ukraine long-range missiles that allow them to fire on Russian forces in Crimea. Should the U.S. allow Ukraine to use those same weapons to fire deeply into Russia?
Well, there was such an authorization. Ukrainians may target military targets in Russia, not deep, but along Ukrainian border. I think it's natural, because Russia concentrates its forces and ammunition equipment just behind the border, and they should be allowed to make deep strikes to defend themselves effectively.
Part of the agenda at this week's NATO summit is to advance Ukraine's membership into NATO. Is it realistic to expect that Ukraine could become a member of NATO so long as it's involved in this conflict with Russia?
It's hard to expect that Ukraine would become a full member in a short time before the war ends. But all the allies stressed that the integration of Ukraine into NATO is an irreversible process. So it will continue through bilateral cooperation. It will continue through meeting NATO standards. It will continue through reforms on the Ukrainian side. But once this conflict is over, I believe that we should proceed as quickly as possible with full integration.
Is NATO supporting Ukraine enough, in your view?
NATO is supporting Ukraine increasingly as a coordinating actor. Ukraine cannot get full guarantee as a NATO member. It cannot be covered by Article 5. But those bilateral arrangements, and the number is growing day by day, give Ukraine a predictable picture of what they can rely on in the case of hostilities or another crisis. It's a period that will breach this time from today to full membership. I think it is a maximum what we can do today, because raising expectations that Ukraine may become a member of NATO at this summit is obviously unrealistic.
The Czech Republic is surrounded by Hungary and Slovakia, which, as you well know, are both pro-Putin right now. What does that mean for you, for your leadership, and how do you fend off these populist trends?
We are trying to be as open, as transparent as possible to our public, and not to let ourselves distracted by their narratives that are quite often misleading. It's not the case in Hungary and Slovakia. These countries are probably more attracted by Russian narratives in expectation that some time in the future they will restore good relations with Russia. It should be in our interest to have good relations with Russia on the condition that Russia respects international norms and order based on rules. Until then, it's hard to have any meaningful relationship with Russia because it doesn't keep promises.
How closely are you following the U.S. election?
Well, with great interest, of course. The democratic world is always looking for a leader, someone to look at in times of crisis and difficulties. And the United States are naturally leading the democratic world because it's the most powerful country of this family. It doesn't mean that we should be all dependent on the United States. I think it's about a true partnership. Europe should be able to provide much more in terms of its own defense and capabilities.
Why hasn't it been able to?
Because it was comfortable. Yeah. After the Cold War, when everyone believed we are now facing times of cooperation and building prosperity, European countries had a tendency to spend less on defense. Unlike U.S., you see a number of challenges around the world which were not so close to Europe. Decades ago, the share was, let's say, roughly 50-50 between European allies and United States. Over time, it turned to 75% for United States and only 25% for Europe. It's not fair. And we should come back to a reasonable share of our responsibility.
In your view, what would Donald Trump winning back the White House in November mean for the future of the NATO alliance and the security of individual NATO countries?
Well, I believe with the experience that we had from his term from 2016 to 2020, he had a number of strong expressions, but in reality, he pushed the alliance in the right direction.
In what ways?
We may criticize the way how he presented the arguments, but the arguments themselves were fair, because what he wanted was the fair share of our responsibility. A number of countries are now meeting the commitment to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense. Number of countries are heavily investing into modernization. So I think his message came through. If Donald Trump gets elected again, I don't think it will mean any disaster for Europe or Ukraine, because United States are aware that they need Europe the same way as Europe needs United States.
Is that a view that is shared among other NATO countries?
I believe so, because a number of countries understand the rationale behind these calls on NATO, NATO European allies. Because we were truly spending much less than was necessary. And we all realize that with Russia being the most urgent and imminent threat to European security, we need effectively to do more. So even without any strong calls from United States, we are doing then that in our self-interest.
Peter Pavel, President of the Czech Republic, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate
thank you.
It.